Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Labyrinths in the News. Today is the ninth day of the Crystal Rabbit Moon of Cooperation, Seli Root Chakra, Yellow Galactic Sunday. The affirmation is, I harmonize in order to enlighten, modeling life. I seal the matrix of universal fire with the galactic tone of integrity. I am guided by the power of flowering. It's also Gregorian calendar, Monday, June 7, 2010. I'm your host, Christiana, coming to you live from the COOV, that's Vancouver, Washington, across the river from Portland, Oregon, as I will be doing usually every Monday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. My lead-in music is the first cut, Icos, short for icosahedron, the water symbol in sacred geometry, off of Susan Alexander's CD, Sequentia. If any of you would like to chat while we are on the air, please go to Christiana-Anea at blogtalkradio.com. My guests today for this hour-long show are Cordelia Rose and Ben Nicholson, co-hosts of the upcoming The Labyrinth Society Gathering in New Harmony, Indiana this November. Thank you, Cordelia and Ben, for joining me today.
Our pleasure.
Hi. If you can get the phone a little bit closer to you so we can hear you a little bit better, that'd be great. So I'm going to ask you, this is a general question, I don't care about who answers first, but I know that you were both present at the Troutdale gathering this past November for last year's gathering, but you must have started planning to be co-host at this event much prior to that. What had the two of you decide to host this event in the first place, and why in New Harmony, Indiana?
Well, the reason we decided in the first place to host the show here was because our very first meeting, Labyrinth Gathering meeting we went to, was in Atlanta, Georgia. And we enjoyed ourselves tremendously and thought, what a wonderful place New Harmony would be to have a Labyrinth Society gathering. And Ben and I have done workshops before, so we thought, we can manage this. Ben has the visionary forest ideas, and I cope with the details. So I'm the trees and Ben's the forest. And he'll tell you why New Harmony particularly.
New Harmony is a tiny little town on the banks of the Wabash River of 900 people, and yet it has a huge presence, international presence, actually. It was an American Indian burial ground, and then the site in 1815 of the Rappite Harmonist movement, who were millenarians from Germany, and they built a town, and we got some wonderful buildings from that period, which is quite unusual in the Midwest. And then in 1815, Robert Owen, the great social theorist from London and England and Scotland, bought the town and decided to set up a educational utopia. And so we have that incredible legacy. And he brought some of the very foremost educators at that time, and scientists and artists. And so we have a really dense body of history here, added to which is the great philanthropist, Jane Blaffer Owen, 95, still very, very active. And she built the roofless church in New Harmony, designed by Philip Johnson, and then a great building by Richard Meyer was built in the late 70s, the Athenaeum. So our town, despite the fact that it's tiny, has a harmonious labyrinth from the harmonious period, a reconstruction of the Chartres labyrinth that was done in the 80s, as well as some world-class modernist buildings, all in the setting of this tiny little rural town on the banks of the Wabash.
And so tell me, it would seem to me that this is especially appealing to Europeans because you have so much history in your little towns and your byways, and yet it's not something that's really that familiar to Americans. And people say, New Harmony, Indiana, is that like Chautauqua? If they know anything at all about Chautauqua. But there's very little of that kind of historical context, unless you go to like Gettysburg or places like that. It's strictly per history, per the Revolutionary War, Civil War, and that kind of stuff. Is it because now? Do you have a history with that town, or I mean, how do you know about New Harmony yourself prior to deciding that this was a good place to do this labyrinth gathering?
Well, I now have been living here for 4 years, and I actually work in Chicago at the Art Institute in the architecture school, and I've brought students down to New Harmony for 15 years. Because it has such a presence and people love coming here. You're right, not many people know about the town. It doesn't have the presence of Chautauqua, and yet we have an annual calendar that is involved with writing and playwriting and dulcimer. We have a dulcimer festival, a lot of incredible things here. But it's for people who like to have a sense of quiet. It's also been called the Thin Place by the Benedictines who do retreats here, the thin place between the earth and the sky, because it has what you might call ley lines that pass through the town, and it has a real energy that is understood when you get here, but hard to talk about when you're not.
I see. So thin, meaning the liminality, that kind of scrim between this world and other dimensions.
Absolutely. I should add that people of very different backgrounds have seen what have been called orbs in the sky that shoot horizontally and then whip upwards up into the atmosphere. And people who are attuned to this, and also people who really have no idea what the heck is going on, but they kind of report things that happen here. So it is a very unusual place regarding its spiritual makeup that has been present for many years and is still recognized to be that way. The Gypsy community always would visit this town in the past. And of course, they are amongst the great holders of qualities that are otherworldly.
And so, tell us a little bit more about the connection with labyrinths and the harmonists. It's my understanding that before they came to Indiana, the harmonists were in Pennsylvania. They came to Indiana for a while, then they went back to Pennsylvania, and that's where they actually built and finished a labyrinth in their third location?
Well, they had labyrinths at all three locations, and there are some very wonderful and rare drawings that the harmonists made of their labyrinths. And we, in this town, had one of them reconstructed in the 1930s, which is a harmonist maze labyrinth. And Lylan Lashley, who's going to be one of the keynote speakers, she wrote part of her doctorate on the harmonist labyrinth. So we'll hear that at the keynote. So we'll have a very, very good background of how the harmonist labyrinth came here. The harmonist used labyrinths as a, they made very, very elaborate gardens. Each ring of the interstices between the rings was planted with different trees and shrubs. And it was a meditative pleasure ground of some heft. And in, at the middle is a little grotto, and the one in Economy, Pennsylvania, is still there. And then in New Harmony, we rebuilt the grotto in the middle.
So a grotto actually in the center of the labyrinth.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it is made of big field stones and has all sorts of wonderful remarks and sayings on the inside walls.
And how wide, how, what's the diameter of that?
The grotto in the middle is, well, good for six people to stand, probably. It's about the same dimension as the Chart Labyrinth's interior. So you can comfortably sit six people in that little grotto. The one in Economy is a little bit bigger, but their labyrinth, I think, was for more people.
So you mentioned the keynote speakers. Can you, Ben, can you talk a little bit about them? And, well, you are one of them. You are one of the keynote speakers.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit more about Lilish, the other keynote speaker.
Sure.
I'm not pronouncing her name right. That's why.
Yeah. Her name is Lilan Leishley. And she got her doctorate from Pittsburgh University on labyrinths. And her keynote is going to be called A Walk into History, The Harmonist's Study Labyrinths. And so she's quite the expert on that. And she's going to speak about alchemy because George Rapp, who was the harmonist who brought his flock over to here and built the town, he was a practitioner of alchemy. I know this is the early 19th century and not the 12th century, but we're all on tenterhooks to figure out what she's going to be talking about. And we know that George Rapp used to wear a red cap when he was working on alchemy and I think a white cap when he was doing other things. So it should be pretty good fun. My talk is going to be called What Makes Labyrinth Geometry Sacred? And my background is much more academic regarding geometry rather than spiritually alone. And I have made a 12-year study of labyrinths and have drawn over 200 different designs and invented a whole new group that are based upon geometry from geometric pottery from Greece, which have these wonderful meanders and keys on them. So it's going to be a pretty nice mix of one that is about the ethereal, and then the other keynotes will be about geometry per se.
And now tell us a little bit about your background. You're an architect. Where did you study, and what type of architecture? Before you got involved with labyrinths, what were you doing?
Well, I was trained in the Architectural Association in London, and then Cooper Union, and then Cranbrook, the great arts and crafts school and architecture school up in Michigan, which is where I met my wife, Laura, who's actually been designing a lot of labyrinths, pillows and so forth. My background, I'm not a licensed architect, and my background is as a writer and a draftsman, and I have books on different kinds of subjects, even a political satire, I might add. So the sublime and the ridiculous are both of great interest to me, and geometry sitting in between those two moments is a classical place for study for me. I began my interest in labyrinths by an analysis of Michelangelo's Laurentian Library, a pavement in that building, that led me to the notion of walking, and I made a big study of Greek pottery, proto-geometric and geometric pottery, and realized that walking and geometry ultimately leads to labyrinth thinking, and then began this long odyssey of making a taxonomy of all labyrinths. And that's where I'm at the moment, is the taxonomy has been completed, and now I'm interested in how they walked and how each design has very, very different implications for the body. And in particular, I'm interested in opening up whole fields of new labyrinth designs, because I feel that there's, in essence, about 10 which are used a lot. And actually, there are hundreds, in fact, thousands of labyrinth designs that you can generate. And I have to bring that to the community and demonstrate that at the conference.
Did you use, when you were doing your taxonomy, what kind of parameters did you use? Did all the labyrinths that you study have to adhere to certain parameters to be included in this taxonomy? I would imagine that, you know, I mean, a maze is compared to a labyrinth, a unicursal, et cetera, like that. Did you have very specific parameters?
Yeah, good question. My parameters are that these are all unicursal labyrinth designs. The other parameter is that whilst I have drawn labyrinths that have 8 centers, generally it's a quatrefoil design. In other words, there's turns in the north, the south, and the east, and the west. So those are two parameters. The other parameter would be that I generally don't go beyond the number of pairs that the Romans used, which is 19 pairs. There's some that have more pairs than that. But I, in essence, stay in the range of 5, 7, and 11 path labyrinths. Because obviously if you get involved in a 19 circuit labyrinth, you have thousands upon thousands of different possibilities.
Mm-hmm. But you said quadrifoil design, but the original that you were talking about, the meander pattern, the key pattern, and that is not classical and
well, the meanders from the Greek vases have many, many repeats, so it would be just the configuration of the turns that interests me for the Greek key labyrinths.
Okay. Well, this sounds very interesting, and I can't imagine what Lillian Lashley's talk is going to be about, especially considering all of the by the time that alchemy was practiced. I mean, it was pretty much relegated to, at least unless you were one of the secret society, members of the secret society or something, you were studying whether gold could become, or nickel could become gold or whatever. But so to listen to her talk about this, especially now that you're talking about that there are lays there, that there are vortexes, that there are energy pathways going through this area, should be very, very interesting. And I had no idea, even with my study of this, that was the case. So this should be very interesting. Can you talk a little bit about, Ben, I'm going to ask you before Cordelia gets on.
Sure.
I think this is something new, and I know that you are one of the artists. There's an artist reception on Sunday afternoon. What is that about? As separate from the marketplace and what is that you're usually there in as a part of the gathering, but this is a very separate thing, a separate piece. And can you talk a bit about that?
Well, New Harmony has a number of galleries in it, and we're going to have 3 different gallery shows going on at the same time. New Harmony Art Gallery is going to be opened up with Jim Buchanan, who's coming from Scotland, and he will have he's an artist in residence hosted by the University of Southern Indiana during the conference, and we're very excited about his work, He's involved in light projection labyrinths, and he is going to choose an old barn or maybe a log cabin in which to put his work. And then Toby Evans, who's from Kansas, and I'm sure you know her work, she's going to be having an exhibition in the Harmony Artists Guild Community House space. And she's going to be showing her Zuvaya paintings, which are inspired by the labyrinth. And Zuvaya is a Mayan word that means a two-way flow circuit by which all things return to themselves. So she's made a collection of paintings over the last 10 years that show a labyrinth as an interdimensional thread coming from and reconnecting us to the frequency of source energy. And then I'm going to show 220 of my drawings in my studio, which are all done to a similar system. And so there's going to be three very, very different, concurrent, and quite large, I might add, labyrinth exhibitions. And for a gathering, this is a real privilege to be able to have big shows going on during the conference. And we are all of this work, of course, is described on the Labyrinth Society, the TLS website, which is thelabyrinthsociety.org, and you can find it all there.
Wow, this sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So is this open to the public? These exhibitions are open, exhibits are open to the public?
Well, that, yes, they are. That's another aspect of the conference, is that it has a very public component to it, and we're going to be working with the University of Southern Indiana's press office, and the gallery walk will happen on Sunday between 12 and 6. And then I think another really fascinating part of the project is that we're going to have labyrinths on the grounds. New Harmony has some truly haunting spaces, and we've arranged for 50 different sites where people can build labyrinths all over the town. And what we would really like to have happen is people come and build their labyrinths, and then the public will be invited on that weekend to walk, let's say, 50 different labyrinths. That's our goal. And the museum here, the Athenaeum Richard Myers, beautiful building, we've had a wall reserved in that space where every participant of the gathering can draw a labyrinth. So we've got this long 40-foot wall, white wall, and with any luck we'll have over 100 different labyrinths drawn for that experience. So there's going to be all sorts of events happening, a lot of very, very dense artistic participation, both formally and informally.
And how do you get to be, what if you can't come to all of the days, but you would love to have your labyrinth or one of your labyrinths on site, available for people to walk? How do you go about doing this?
Well, that's another great question. There is going to be a person in charge of the labyrinths on the grounds, and you'll be able to find that on the website. And just call and check in and ask for that to happen, and away we go. The TLS annual gathering has a space called Call for Labyrinths on the Grounds. And so here's that opportunity and possibility.
So it's www.thelabyrinthsociety.org. And
It's actually just HTTP, labyrinthsociety.org.
I'm sorry, it's not the, right, right.
No, not
wait.
It's
labyrinthsociety.org.
.org.
Yeah.
And then there's a...
In there, you'll see a picture, and it says gathering, and you click on that. And then in there, you'll see all the different different pages that you can go to, and one of them is the call for labyrinths on the ground. Is that correct?
Labyrinths on the ground. Exactly that, yeah.
Okay.
Exactly
okay.
That. And I think that this is going to be a different gathering from ones done past, inasmuch as we have the whole town wants to be involved in this project, and all of the institutions, whether it's the harmonist societies or the university, they're just opening their doors and say, go for it. We've got some beautiful buildings in which the conference is going to happen in as well, an old granary, which has it's like being inside a large musical instrument with big beams, and it's going to be terrific.
And so you might very well have participants putting out labyrinths who are involved with the university, who are members of the town themselves, who live there.
Yes, we're certainly open to that, and I think that the school kids are going to make a big labyrinth as well.
That's
beautiful space and a lot of really eager people. And then, of course, the other big event that's going to happen is we're going to have a 3-hour nighttime pilgrimage through the town that leads from this large granary around the reconstruction of the Shark Labyrinth and then down to the Hedge Labyrinth. And then we're going to go up to a hill, which is in French known as the Sacré Colline, the Sacred Hill, which is called Indian Mound Hill and has a lot of very powerful qualities up there. And Jill Jeffrian, who is a wonderful person, a very prolific writer, is going to lead that pilgrimage. And we will have music played en route, and then we're going to go down into a raw earth labyrinth at about midnight and do some projects there before returning back into the town. And we really feel that the conference this year, the TLS gathering, is really a pilgrimage, and that everybody's journeys to get there will be like a pilgrimage. And then Cordelia is going to talk about that later. And so that the town is going to be like coming to a labyrinth. The whole town will be like a labyrinth. And it's built on a square grid. It's a square town that is 3 blocks wide and 5 blocks long. 3, the great symbol of the Trinity, and 5, the great symbol of the hand. So even in its planning, it was understood as being a conjunction of the hand and the spirit.
Well, I was going to ask you about this, the pilgrimage idea, the pilgrimage to the Harmonist Labyrinth. Now, the Indian, now you said an earth labyrinth. The last place, the last labyrinth that you're going to that night on that pilgrimage, is that one that you are making for this specific event, or is it already there in place?
Yes, it's on in my grounds where I live, and it's a shuffle labyrinth, the same one that Cordelia has in New Mexico. And so it's a disc 40 feet wide of carefully tended earth, and so we'll be able to have that design in the mind. I will have the design in the mind, and then we can walk that at night and then step out of it, and then we will see the design that has been imprinted with our feet into the ground.
Wow. So you said that Cordelia is going to talk a little bit about the idea of pilgrimage. Should I have her come on now, or?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, she's right here.
Okay.
We're sitting at our great grandfather's partner's desk across from each other, so this will be pretty nice. Okay.
Well, thank you, Ben.
Yeah.
Hi, Cordelia. So you want to continue the segue and continue this conversation about pilgrimage and what this means in terms of in this very new country of ours, which we don't really have a lot of pilgrimage sites like you do in Europe. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, we envision people coming from all corners of America and some from Europe as well. And it's a slightly complicated journey, but exciting journey, and there's many ways you can do it. You can go to TLS Forum or Facebook and find a partner to pilgrimage with by car from your own front door and pilgrimage your way to New Harmony by car. Ben and I were saying it's such a wonderful bicycle town this that you could also set up on your bicycle a month beforehand. Another way you could get here, if you wanted to in November, is to canoe down the Wabash River. And the Ohio River just runs south of New Harmony, so you could go along the Ohio River and then turn right up the Wabash, and there you are in New Harmony. But in practical terms, there are three airports near-ish to New Harmony, St. Louis, Missouri, and then there's the Evansville Airport, which is quite close to us, and there's a Louisville Airport in Kentucky. And on the website, under flight information, I think the heading is, there are all the phone numbers for car rental firms and things. This time, because there are so many airports and so many ways to get here, we're not organizing shuttle buses from various airports to New Harmony. We're relying on people making pilgrimage here themselves to this center of Labyrinth Land. So it's a journey, quite frankly, from my faraway ranch in New Mexico, southwestern New Mexico. You've been there, Christiana. I had to start the day before I want to arrive to get to New Harmony. So I'm probably going to make the longest journey of anybody. But it's a wonderful drive and a beautiful journey, and it's glorious when you get here.
And so the idea is to, if I'm not mistaken, is to entice people to think of this not just as a quickie trip, you know, I get on the plane and I rent a car and I get there, but to plan. Take a little time to plan and make this a spiritual practice, create a spiritual practice, create ritual, create ceremony, even if it's just to the airport, on the plane, and to New Harmony in the rental car, preferably with others in your community or families or whatever. And have New Harmony be the center of this pilgrimage.
It'll be your destination. And when you've got here, you will have arrived at your destination. It could all be a good idea to come a day early just so that you could be in New Harmony for a day before the conference, because it's such a beautiful place. The pilgrimage to the Harmonist Labyrinth will be on the evening of Friday, the 12th of November. It will be at 7:30 in the evening. There will be the opening ceremony, which is a ritual with which we open the gathering, and that will be led by Toby Evans. And then after that, directly, will be Lylan Lashley's keynote all about the Harmonist Labyrinth. Directly after that, we'll set off for the Harmonist Labyrinth on a pilgrimage. So early on, the idea of pilgrimage from your front door all the way up to the Indian Mound will be, you can carry that out.
Mm. And there's no limit to the creativity that can come into play making up your pilgrimage. I mean, you can do it just one way, you can do it both ways, you can... it can be anything that you can think of that will entice you or get you going about this and get you focused on setting yourself. Actually, you're really taking yourself out of your daily lives and setting aside the time.
From your kitchen sink right to here. And one of the things we'd really love it is if people made a journal as they travel. And then somebody can write up everybody's journal experiences and post that on the TLS website after the gathering so that we know how people found their way here. From New Mexico, I packed up my folding bicycle into my suitcase and hopped on my car and into the plane, and then I've been bicycling on my bicycle all over New Harmony. And the other thing they could think of is, if you think of the whole of America as a labyrinth with New Harmony as the center at the moment, your journey here would be like uncoiling a labyrinth across America to get to New Harmony. And then the return journey would be coiling up again and returning home. So your
and yeah, and they can, and they can if they have a video camera, they can, and they can take pictures, and they can do a video of their journey. And I know the Labyrinth Society would love to have mementos of the gathering in those forms for the website and for posterity.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, Cordelia, let's get back into a little bit about the day by day what you're doing, activities, the schedule, and the concurrent workshops. Talk a little bit about you mentioned that you have the Harmonious Labyrinth, the Indian Man, the pilgrimage. What's Saturday all about? And tell us about the concurrent workshops.
Indeed, there's the Puri Gathering workshops on Friday, the 12th of November, and then there are the concurrent workshops on the 13th of November, and there are three sessions with a choice of four speakers, presenters for each session. So you have a choice of what you go to. There's going to be a session on a dream quest, and then Lauren Artress is coming to give a session on the organizing principle with labyrinths. Jill Jeffrian, who is going to lead the pilgrimage to the Harmonious Labyrinth, she's going to give a presentation on the world, the labyrinths she's built worldwide. She goes to places of strife and stress like Rwanda and other places in Africa and Asia, and she builds labyrinths with the people there, and they either sort of walk on their hands, or it's a retreat center. And there's also
It looks like Stephanie Blackton is doing one on prisons.
Yes, she is. And Lisa Moriarty and Kimberly Soward are doing one on a pilgrimage that they made in France and another that they made in Ireland. I think they're on that one at the present. And then Judith Lorimer is going to talk on Egyptian labyrinths. And there are two people who are, Joan, I think, Rudebeck is going to talk about 465 stories they have gathered from a hospital that has labyrinths in it, and one of the presenters is a nurse, registered nurse. So they're going to talk about people's experiences in a health-related setting. Then Stephanie Blackton on prisons, as you say. And then William Kuypers is coming from the Netherlands to talk about the work he does on personal expression using the seven rings of the labyrinths as chakras. Mm-hmm. And then Mark Milligan's going to give, he's a minister, he's going to give a very helpful talk on how you can introduce labyrinths and the concept of the labyrinths to the other public bodies that don't quite understand. It'll be a very useful beginner level, somebody trying to introduce a labyrinth to their church or their hospital, and Mark has it down how to do that. And then there's going to be a glorious session by Linda Tour Lucas on laughter in the labyrinth. She teaches laughter yoga, and she's, from her photograph, she's the merriest person you could look at. So she's going to, the theme of the labyrinth is new harmonies in the labyrinth. And so the harmony of laughter in the labyrinth is something to think about. We've also asked for new ideas to be presented in the concurrent workshops and the pre-gathering workshops. There's a Canadian composer coming who is doing a session in the Opera House, most suitably, on music in the Labyrinth. I'm ashamed to say I haven't quite read that one in detail yet, but relatively soon all the proposal descriptions and the biographies of the speakers are going to be, of the concurrent workshop speakers, are going to be up on the Labyrinth Society webpage. There's already the two keynote speakers, descriptions and biographies and photographs are up on the website, and descriptions of the pre-gathering workshops also.
So, okay, great. This just sounds like a wonderful... So the concurrent workshops are only on Saturday, is that correct?
They run all Saturday?
Okay.
Yes, they are. And there's two extra things I'd like to say about them, in that we are looking for funds to film all of these sessions, everything that's happening, like the pre-gathering workshops, the concurrent sessions, the keynote speeches, and we also want to put them in a gathering program book, so there's some record of that, and you are able to just buy a one-day ticket to the conference to attend the Saturday workshops.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to register for the whole night or anything. If somebody lives here, lives nearby, and they can only come on Saturday, they can buy a one-day ticket to do that.
And that will allow them entrance to the Labyrinth of one workshop per session, as well as the evening session?
The Maple Labyrinth Dance, anybody can come to that. And on that Saturday is when the silent auction closes, and my brother has designed a very special quilt that Labyrinth Society members are quilting section by section. And that'll be online, it'll be announced. You'll be able to bid online for that special quilt. And the closing of that is on Saturday as well. So that one day people will be able to go to the vendor's marketplace and visit that as well.
So let's talk a little bit about these special events. And Cordelia, I know this is near and dear to your heart, both of these. The Maypole dancing, that is the pre-workshop. That's on Friday, and that's from 1 to 4. And there's a Maypole dancing workshop. And you have multiple different Maypole dance events during the gathering. And you have that workshop that day. You have something called Gypsy's Tent Dance, and you have Maypole Dance in the Labyrinth on Saturday night. So tell us a little bit about this and your interests and involvement in this.
Well, my interest began 2-3 years ago when I heard about people dancing Maypoles in the Labyrinth, and I danced Maypoles in England when I was a child, the traditional Maypole dances around a circle. And I thought, this kind of circles, it all works. Weaving, it works. And I heard about a man called Ola Jensen in Denmark, who owns Labyrinthia, which is a sort of, not quite amusement park, but a park full of different kinds of labyrinths. So I contacted Ola and said, tell me what on earth it is that you do, because I'm interested in it. So Ola is coming to the whole gathering. He'll be working together on the Friday afternoon workshop. And the Gypsy's Tent Dance comes in because I thought to myself, well, not everybody who attends the workshop will have done a Maypole dance. Maybe they don't know what it is. And because of the Gypsy link with New Harmony, I thought to myself, well, I'll look for a suitable traditional Maypole dance, and I have one called the Gypsy's Tent. So the other day I worked with a group of dancers here in New Harmony, and I taught them the Gypsy Tent dance so that they could demonstrate a traditional dance outside the labyrinth, and so people could get an idea of that. After that, Jeff and I will demonstrate a dance called the crane dance, which is just two people, and Jeff and I will show people what that is. We have a historian from England called Jeff Soward coming as well, and he'll be interpreting the crane dance and anything he knows about the history of maples and labyrinths, the connection between them, like the rites of spring. And Ola and I will be teaching, Ola in particular, will be teaching participants the dance that he does in the labyrinth in Denmark, the sort of old world maple dance in the labyrinth. And then I will teach participants the dance that I do in New Mexico, the New World maple in the labyrinth dance, which they're slightly different. And then there'll be a panel discussion about the history of it all. Where are we going? Is there really a link between the two? And so that will be the workshop on Friday afternoon. Then that's sort of serious, and we want to know where we're going and is this the right path to follow, and always paths in labyrinths. And then on the Saturday evening, 7:30 to 9:30, we will have a fun time maple dance. Anybody who's around can join into that. The public can come, the Saturday people, the people who've registered. And Ola and I will just teach people how to dance the maple in the labyrinth, how we do it in Denmark and how we do it in America. So Ola and I are the only people who do this.
And so the... It says upstairs in the granary. So the granary, the roof is very high.
Very high. We're going to make a very tall maple. And the maple, the labyrinth around the maple will be made out of pumpkins because it's quite close to Halloween. And there's an outfit here called Frey Pumpkins or Frey Gardens or something. And they grow millions of pumpkins for sale at Halloween time. So we thought that would be good. And so Frey Pumpkins are donating labyrinth pumpkins for us. And uh-huh. I have already brought my maple ribbons here to New Harmony. We've been practicing with them. And Ola is going to bring some from the early 70s that belonged to a man called Jorgen Thordrup, who started dancing maples in the labyrinth. And we're going to dance to Irish jigs played by the New Harmony Artists Guild Band. So they're going to play Irish jigs live music and Irish polkas for us to dance to. So
there's plenty of room. If people don't want a maypole dance, they can just dance, period.
They could dance, period. They can clap, sing along. They can do anything they want. It is so much fun dancing in the maple. It's more fun than you can imagine. So it's fun time.
So the maple dance workshop on Friday is not participatory. It's something that people are watching.
It can be participatory. You don't have to dance if you don't want to. But the people who have registered for that workshop and want to learn about maple dancing will be able to dance. Okay. And people who just want to watch, they can just watch. But they won't be able to resist joining in. People are better bring their dancing shoes or bare feet. Not serious dancing shoes. This is fun time as well.
Okay, great. Is that Saturday evening dance, is that open to the public? Or can you just mention exactly what is actually open to the public during this event and what is just for the participants?
Okay. Open to the public is anything that happens outside, like labyrinths on the grounds, the 50 sites that Ben spoke about. So any labyrinth people see outside a building, they can walk it for free any time of day or night. Then this Saturday evening maple dance, it is inside, but it's free to anybody who wants to come. And then the equine labyrinth workshop there's a part of that where there will be 8 horses demonstrating being ridden in labyrinths, and that people can watch from the bank or from the balconies at the Athenaeum Visitor Center, so they can look down on it if they wish. And then that is on Friday morning from 8 o'clock in the morning until noon. And then on Sunday, people can watch, if they didn't watch the horses outside on the Friday because they haven't got here yet, they can stay a bit longer and watch a demonstration of the horses being ridden in the labyrinth on Sunday afternoon, the 14th of November. That's going to be about from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And then the art galleries, the 3 art exhibitions, are open to the public for free. And that's quite a lot. There's so much to see.
It is quite a lot. Quite a lot.
Let alone whether you've really been to the conference or not. But there's a lot, there's an unusual amount that's open to the public without having to register for the conference.
So let's talk about, you mentioned the equine labyrinths. You're very involved with equine labyrinths at your ranch in New Mexico. I've been there. They're amazing. I've watched you ride your beautiful Arabian horse around the one labyrinth that you have there, one of the labyrinths that you have there. Tell us about, now, there's something that you're doing called the Trojan Ride. And you're doing this in conjunction with a pony club in New Harmony or in Indiana. Can you talk about this a bit, please?
Okay. There is an Etruscan vase called the Tagliatelle vase, and on it, the decorations on the vase depict the siege of Troy. And so there were baddies coming into Troy, and there were goodies defending Troy. So there were kind of 2 teams of people. And on the vase, there are 2 horses riding out of a 7th Circuit classic labyrinth, and nobody knows why. So Virgil described a ride called the Troy Town Ride, which he described in very flowery prose, and how the beauty of how the warriors that came and they went and they interlaced and this and that, but there's no description of how they did it. So we have designed, or Jeff Soward, a historian in England, has designed a special labyrinth to fit more or less with Virgil's prose, and I have designed a special ride with 8 horses and 8 riders where we come together, 2 Appaloosa's horses come together, 2 paint horses come together and separate and come apart, and Jeff Soward will read Virgil's description over the loudspeakers of this Trojan ride as we ride it. And the people who are riding are from the Posey County Saddle Club, and New Harmony's in Posey County. And there's 8 riders altogether. There are Keith and Janice Woods and Mickey and Tila Temi and Sue Aldrich and Misty Watson, I think her last name is. And I've been made an honorary member of the Posey County Saddle Club so I can ride with them. There's another rider called Eric. His last name's gone off my head. I'm sorry about that. But he's the newest rider. I haven't met him yet. But we practiced. Yesterday, I think we practiced, and we are already really good at this ride. It is absolutely beautiful. And Ben brought his movie camera. So we have some of this ride on film, you'll be glad to know, just our practice. So we are going to, in the workshop, we're going to do this ride and show other rides of horses and riders, showing how you can train a horse in the labyrinth. We're going to show a little bit of film in a panel discussion afterwards, which won't be open to the public. We're going to show a little film about equine-assisted therapy in the labyrinth. So there's some interpretation of this as well as the demonstrations. But on the Sunday, we will only be demonstrating outside. Mm-hmm.
It sounds amazing. Now tell me again the type of labyrinth that's being used for this.
Well, We've just designed it. We're calling it the Trojan Ride Labyrinth.
And it's how many circuits?
It's sort of like a twin classic. It's one classic reflecting another seven circuit classic. It looks a bit like a brain, left brain, right brain. So we'll have a left-hand team and a right-hand team. And then
they cross over.
They come together in the center and ride around to each other, left to left, and they swap sides. So your left brain gets a chance to ride on your right brain. And then we ride it again in formation. We all come in one line at one moment, and then when we go around the corners, we come together and we part as we go back off on our own brain side, as it were.
Is there any way of getting up high so that you can take the movie of you from above?
If we can get the funding to have somebody film this whole gathering, they will be able to go up onto the decks of the Athenaeum Visitor Center and look down on the ride.
I only have 4 minutes. I'm sorry to cut you off. I only have 4 minutes. I can't believe this hour's gone by so quickly. I really want to talk about a little bit about the rest. You're chock full here. These days are amazing. It sounds like an incredible thing that's really not to be missed. But not only do you have all of this wonderful stuff on Sunday happening, until 5 o'clock Sunday night. But then Monday, talk a little bit about what's still available for people who want to stick around and can stick around. What is available on Monday, November 15th?
On Monday we have 3 tours. We have a tour of labyrinths around the St. Louis, Missouri area, led by Robert Ferry, starting in his studio where they make the big canvas labyrinths. Then people can get dropped off at St. Louis Airport after that. Then we have another tour, which is called the Nearby Labyrinth Tour, and that's to visit some labyrinths in southern Indiana and northern Kentucky. And then we have another sightseeing tour, which Ben and I lovingly call the Birds and Bats Tour. Nina Peacock, Warren Lynn will lead the Nearby Labyrinth Tour. Nina Peacock will lead a tour to the John James Audubon Museum in Audubon State Park. And there you'll be able to see the stuffed birds and the drawings that John James Audubon made. And then you can take a little bird walk in the state park where he sat and drew. Then you'll get back into a couple of minivans or however many minivans we need, or you can follow in your own car. And we'll go off to the Marengo Caves. And there, if you stay overnight by yourself, you'll be able to see the bats coming out of the cave and the bats going back in the morning. But there's a 40-minute, really easy walk in the Crystal Cave, which is unbelievably beautiful. We have the links to all of these walks, these tours on TLS website. So if you go into post-gathering, go to the website to annual gathering and then go to post-gathering tours, and you can find the website link to each of these places and the schedule of the tours.
And in terms of pricing, just not to get this bogged down with this, But in terms of that, these tours are extra, and you do pay extra for these. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm afraid you pay $65 extra. But if you want to go down to the cave, sort of where like the Minotaur lived, it's worth your $65. And to see your labyrinths locally and around St. Louis. But it is extra.
Now, how about the pre-gathering, the Maypole Dance Workshop? Is that extra?
Yes, it is, and so is the Equine Labyrinth.
Okay. Equine. And that's all on the website as well?
It's all on the website. And you register for those when you register for the gathering. So when you go on the website, you scroll on down to registration, you'll find an entry on the registration form for each tour and for each pre-gathering workshop. So the concurrent workshops on Saturday are all included in your registration fee. Everything else is included in your registration fee.
And as far as staying, places to stay, there are on-site places to stay. There are homes, houses that are part of the New Harmony site themselves, as well as the convention center. Is that correct?
The historic houses are already booked, I'm afraid. That went really quickly. But there are, the New Harmony Inn has two beautiful buildings overlooking a lake and things. They're lovely. Then if you're adventurous, you can go and stay in a log cabin in the Harmony State Park. You'd need a car for that because it's 4 miles south of New Harmony. And there's a campsite tent camping. You can tent camp in November in Harmony State Park as well. But the cabins, the log cabins, all have kitchens and central heating. You can also bring your RV because in Murphy Park there are hookups. There's details about all of these. If you look under accommodations on TLS website, you'll be able to find details about that. And people are always welcome to make phone calls to us.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Cordelia and Ben. We're actually the on but not streaming anymore, but so that's fine. People can still listen in as an archive show. Thank you so much for joining me today.
It's been a real pleasure to talk to you, Christiana.
Lots of fun, and thank everybody that's here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, and it's a great job you're doing, amazing job, and I so look forward to being there, and I'm going to really chat it up with everybody around here. So
great,
so, great talking to you, and best of luck with the rest of the planning.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So it is my intention to enlighten Labyrinth neophytes and support Labyrinth veterans with guests like Cordelia and Ben, who provide a depth of information and personal experience not available through other sources. So you've been listening to Labyrinth in the News in the Life category on blogtalkradio.com with your host, Christiana. Please join me Monday, June 14th, when my guest will be Myra Smith, certified Labyrinth facilitator and Labyrinth artist, and owner of the Laughing Flower Labyrinth and Landscape Company. Join us as we talk about her landscape labyrinth designs. Have a blessed week, and in La Cache.